You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Alex Levy becomes the first man to win the Volvo China Open twice.
I work a lot the last few months to be in good position. I was in good position last week, and I think what I did last week helped me for this week.
Levy produced a stunning final round to overcome South African Dylan Fratelli in a playoff.
I'll take the good and the bad and definitely work on getting back in there and getting in contention later down the season. I'm sure I'm going to win, hopefully, this season. That'd be a great goal to achieve.
We have a full review of all the action from Beijing to come. Plus, we'll be joined by Chris Wood to look ahead to a new event on the Race to Dubai, the inaugural Golf Sixes. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm very pleased to say that I'm joined once again by Ewan Murray. And Ewan, a couple of weeks in a row in China, and I suppose, you know, if the tour's going to different regions, that's the way to do it. Spend more than 1 week in a place that's a long way away.
And I think that's something we'll see a lot of in the future. We head down to Australia, we may find two or three events there. We've had the same in South Africa over the last few years, and that is the right way to go. In China, after all, it's the other side of the world, just about.
And it seems to suit Alex Levy very well over there.
It certainly does. You mentioned he won the Volvo China Open two times, the first player to have done that. His biggest check was actually earned in China as well, when he finished second in the BMW Masters at Lake Millaren. So there's something in the Chinese air that appeals to that champion.
And it's always hard lines to the guy that gets close but doesn't quite do it in the shape of Dylan Fratelli.
Very difficult day for him. I think he'll be annoyed with himself. Out of the top 23 players, he was the only one over par on Sunday. And you don't get that many opportunities, as you know, in the game. And 73 in the end would have been good enough for Dylan to get his maiden victory. But it's all part of learning. Came through the Challenge Tour last year, 9 top 10s there, and won the Rolex Trophy. So he's heading in the right direction, and you have to fail, I think, before you succeed.
Yeah, and he's doing quite nicely in the Race to Dubai. But for Alex Levy, who won the Porsche towards the end of last year, last autumn, by making a fantastic birdie putt, he went nuts on that green, on the 18th green, playing against Ross Fisher. He makes another 15-footer in the playoff.
Yeah, and a very positive putt. It went in with some pace as well. 26 years of age, 4 wins already, Ryder Cup in France next year. Very important time in the career of Levy.
I've got him down for a major win. I think he could be that good if he strings it all together.
He's certainly got the right attitude. You go back to French amateur champion 2010, he turned pro pretty much straight after that. Didn't find it easy, like so many of these players do at that stage of his career. But once he got the first victory, the first Volvo China Open victory, he's headed in the right direction. And the best of him is yet to come. A young man with great future ahead of him.
And, of course, he was the guy in the record-breaking French team that hit the second shot to the fourth hole, I think, of Valderrama, the par 5, the quickest hole ever played.
Similarly, I can't quite remember the time, do you?
I think it was less than 30 seconds. They birdied the par 5. I think Jacqueline tapped it in, and he hit the most magnificent, you know how small that target is, almost on the run. One waggle, whoosh, off it went, and found the target. It was fantastic. So, yeah, French are the quickest players ever to complete a hole. Levy's a fantastic player. The 67 in the final round was always going to put the pressure on Fratelli.
Yeah, by his own admission, he wasn't really thinking about going out there and winning because Fratelli was in good shape. There were some good players tucked in between him and Levy. But you know what happens? There's turning points in a final round. And when they go your way, you have to take full advantage of them. And that's exactly what Levy did.
Fratelli had a one-shot lead going into the 18th, but could only make par after sending his second shot a long way left, Ewan.
It surely was, and he was quite fortunate in many ways to get the drop back in line with the way the holes played. He played a reasonable shot from there. He gave himself an opportunity and then left what would have been the winning putt short, bang on line. You can understand that, trying to win for the first time. But when he went out there in the playoff, there was no question Levy was the stronger one.
With all your experience, what's a good thing for Fratelli to say to himself after the playoff loss?
I think it's another step forward in your career. There's only 2 months in age between these two players, and Fratelli has got quite a lot of experience. He went to the University of Texas, where he partnered Jordan Spieth in their golf team there. Young man from Johannesburg who still lives down there. And it's difficult for all of these players, as we know, down the years, the Australians, the South Africans, they have to travel. And, of course, this is not where he learned to play the game. He learned to play that in South Africa, then went to university in America. So Europe is a different thing. If I was him, I would look upon Sunday as thinking, I came so close to winning for the first time. At 26 years of age, there's many tournaments ahead of him.
Yeah, turn it into a positive, quite right. My producer's got one of those newfangled phones that you can, you know, do dizzy fingers and find out information very quickly. 34.6 seconds, apparently, Ewan. He's at it again, 34.8. There we are. That's pretty quick to play one hole, and it's a par five, and, of course, the French are the world champions. They're the quickest ones ever to have done it. What about some of the other players, Ewan, that ran close or played well?
I'm very impressed with Ross Fisher. It looked like his career was beginning to slip away from him. And a very strong end to last year. You mentioned the port. He was well up. He was in contention going into the final round there and finished, I think, in second place. Very strong finish to the year. And he's carried that on into the start of 2017. We were out at the match play. You know how important it was for him to win that match, to play his way into the Masters, which he had played in before because he was in the top 50 of the world. I think it's difficult to get into the top 50 first time. I think it's more difficult when you have to do it again.
Yeah, there's lots of pressure all the time for players that are on the cusp of something, from world number one down to top 50, down to keeping your card. There's always a challenge on for these top players around the world, no doubt about that. Well, I'm very delighted to say we're now joined on the line by the latest winner in the European Tour, Alex Levy. Alex, you must be feeling fantastic.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm feeling fantastic, yeah.
It was an amazing comeback. When during the final round, Alec, do you think you had a chance to go and take the title for the second time?
I realised only on 15 green I can win this tournament because from the 12th to the 15th green, we don't have leaderboard on the golf course. And when I left the 12th green, I saw the leaders at 19 under and I was 15. And when I come to the 15th green, I was only just one shot behind. And at this moment, I say, OK, I can win this tournament.
You birdied the last while Dylan Fratelli could only settle for a par. Did that give you an edge going into the playoff?
That helped me and give me confidence to 18 because I hit two great shots, especially the drive and the three iron was an amazing shot during the 72 holes. And that gave me confidence and I just tried to do the same. I hit a really nice second shot during the playoff, but just in a bunker and I make a nice up and down, especially the putt was amazing.
I believe it was your caddy's birthday yesterday, so a more than decent present, I suspect.
Yeah, for sure. It was really special for me to win this tournament during the birthday of my caddy. I think for him, it's one of his best presents, but for me, it was really nice. When I start to think to win this tournament, I say, Tom, I need to win this one for you, and that was a really nice feeling.
And what is it about China that you like, Alex? Because you've played well there on more than one, on more than two occasions even.
Yeah, for sure. I like to play in China, but I'm still playing in European Tour. And it's nice to have a few different tournaments in Asia and in Europe. And to play a few tournaments in China is nice. And I think it's a good combination.
The Gulf Six is next on the agenda. A new format. No doubt you're looking forward to that.
It's a tournament I really like, and I just want to play this tournament for fun with Greg Bordy, a good partner. And I think it's really like format, and it will be fun. I hope we will have a lot of crowd and a lot of people will enjoy this tournament, but I think it's really good idea by European Tour and Keith Pelle.
And, of course, a long-term aim must be for you, Alex, now playing well, to make that Ryder Cup team at Le Golf National in 2018.
I was sure I will have a question for that. Yeah, for sure, it's the target, but, you know, the Ryder Cup is 2018. We are in the start of 2017, a long time to go, and we just need to be patient. And for sure, it's a goal for me, but too many players can make this team and too many good players on European Tour. I just need to play my best game to be part of this team. The only like that I can be part of the team.
Thanks, Alex. You keep up the good play. There's big things ahead for you. You just keep playing exactly as you are and the career's going in a really good trajectory. We'll see you soon out there.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you very much. Goodbye, bye-bye.
Do you know Ewan, he's got an infectious personality, very bubbly, and I think that always helps in golf when, you know, there are a lot more downs than there are ups.
Oh, for sure. If you look back on your career and you see how many tournaments you've played in and see how many you've actually contended in, mm-hmm. It's a very small percentage. So, yes, you have to get through the tough times, but if you get through them, then it's worth it when you have the good times.
Oh, for sure. Some social media reaction. Thomas Bjorn, Ryder Cup captain, he'll be keeping an eye on Alex Levy. He said, congratulations. Of course, he's going to have to say this every week now when a European wins. Congratulations. Watched it close up on Thursday and Friday, and it was impressive. Justin Rose said, congratulations. Succinct and to the point. And Felipe Aguilar said, congrats, pal. You're a beautiful, crazy Frenchman. And that's actually not a bad way to sum up Alex Levy, is it?
Well, I think his demeanour actually hides what a really good player he is.
Oh, he's a great player.
And I'm with you. He's got a great spell ahead in 2017 and beyond.
We will be chatting to Chris Wood in a moment to hear about the Golf Sixes and his recent good form in China. But first, let's hear from the runner-up, a disappointed Dylan Fratelli.
Definitely stings. Let it go there in the end, but I'm still proud of the way I played this week. It's a great result. 17 under par on this golf course is nothing to scoff at. And yeah, proud of Alex. He played well there to come back. I mean, most people probably thought I had it in the bag even with 18 holes to go, and he stuck to it and played well there in the playoff as well. I just thought it was tough for me to get motivated. 3-4 shot lead at one stage, and I was trying to make birdies. I just couldn't get them to go. And then a couple mistakes on the back nine, one bad break and two bad breaks actually. Yeah, no, they weren't good swings there, but I'll take the good and the bad and definitely work on getting back in there and getting in contention later down the season. I'm sure I'm going to win, hopefully, this season. That'd be a great goal to achieve. I'm hoping to have a very long career, so I'm not going to let this get me down or be upset with anything. Alex played well to win it, and he won the tournament, won a birdie in the playoffs, so I'll take that out of it.
I think you touched on it earlier, Ewan. He'll be disappointed because he had the big lead, and in many ways, when you're trying to break through, there's more to lose than there is to win with that.
Yes, he'll look back at the double bogey at 12 and think, well, that was a mistake, but that's not the sole reason that he didn't go ahead and win on Sunday. It's very difficult when you come off the golf course just to know exactly what's going on. He needs a little spell on his own, a bit of peace and quiet, and look back on that and see what he could have done differently. And that's what great champions do. They look back in the early part of their career, they see the mistakes they made, and they don't make them again.
Well, Pablo Larrazábal enjoyed another week in China that he played well. He appeared to be Fratelli's main opponent going into the final day, but a final round of 72... saw his challenge fade away.
You know, I start with three putt on the first and another bogey the second. You know, we tried to, it's tough to describe when they opened the door of the tournament so many times, and was like a film that I couldn't get in. Only one birdie until 18, and that was a putt that I missed for eagle of 9 foot. So, you know, nothing was getting in. All the good putts were just short. All the opportunities I had for birdie, I couldn't make them. And, you know, one of those days that I'm not disappointed, because it was like it was. I tried my best, and my best today was level par, and was to finish one short. You know, when you give your best, you have to be happy. But it's one of those days that I'm going to go on the flight tonight very, very, you know, sad.
A very interesting player to watch, though, the way he gets it around the golf course and takes monster divots.
Yeah, it's quite steep on the way down, but that's the way he plays. That's the way he started playing. And if it works, why change it?
Yeah, he's a good player. So, Ewan, please give us the top 10 from the Volvo China Open.
There was a tie for ninth place. Jorge Campillo of Spain and Soomin Lee of Korea. George Coetzee nipped in and took eighth place all on his own. Good final round of 68 from the South African. 2009 USPGA champion and first major winner over in Asia, Yang, was tied with Ross Fisher. Into the top five, and it was Wood and Wiesberger. You couldn't separate them. Again, very strong final round. 68 from Wood, one better for Wiesberger. Pablo was in third. Dylan, as we know, came so close to that maiden victory, but the week over there in China belonged to Alex Levy.
Now, fancy race to Dubai tips. Richard Box saw you in your absence. Because it was his birthday week, he had two picks. He went for Joost Luiten, who finished 31st, and Brandon Stone, who finished 18th. I just have one pick, Ross Fisher. Absolutely done him up like a kipper. Ross finished 6th. So a top 10 for me in Boxall with his usual poor performance as a tipster.
Well, maybe Richard should come in at Christmas and he'll get three picks there.
Even then, I don't think it would help. I'm not sure it would help Richard Boxall, but there we are. Ross Fisher, the top tip from last week. He finished 6th. In the fancy race to Dubai game, Jan Olov topped the weekly game with just over 1.5 million points. His team had Levy, Wood, Wiesberger, Fisher and Fratelli. So well done. Overall, Mike Hyben is the leader with his team Brocchioli amassing just over 15.5 million points. In our very own league, the Sean Ryder Cup, Neil Morrison and his team Not a Chance is top of the tree with nearly 11 million points. Make sure you keep an eye on the website europeantour.com for all news on all things on the European Tour, including the Golf Sixes coming up. And you can check out, if you haven't done already, how you are standing in the fancy race to Dubai game. Ewan, please, could we have the Race to Dubai standings?
Top 10 has a truly cosmopolitan look to it. Fabrizio Zanotti from Paraguay in 10th, McIlroy in 9th, Thomas Peters in 8th place, former Masters champion Charles Schwartzel in 7th, and he's just behind Ross Fisher in 6th place. Into the top 5, Bernd Wiesberger with his fine exploits over the course of the last month or so, Justin Rose in 4th, the very talented John Rahm up there in 3rd place, and Tommy Fleetwood, who led for some time, into 2nd place, but disposed by the 2017 Masters champion Sergio Garcia.
Yes, it really was a magical Masters. Now, in other news, Ian Poulter will retain his PGA Tour card for the rest of the season following a change to the rules. The Englishman was set to lose his playing rights after he failed to earn the required points or prize money in the 10 events covered by his medical exemption after a foot injury. However, the PGA Tour have now confirmed both Poulter and Brian Gay of the USA will be allowed to continue to play. Odd one.
Odd one, yes, just an administration mistake, seemingly, but what a boost for the two veterans, I guess you could call them now, Ian Poulter and Brian Gay. And wouldn't it be something if they were to go ahead and win in the next few weeks? It could well happen.
Yeah, it was very hard lines for Ian Poulter, who, if he was one shot better at Harbour Town, would have got enough points to get his card. So, you know, you miss by one shot and then it looks like you're done and dusted, and now there's a look at it again, and he's good for the season. So, yeah, maybe Brian Gay and Ian Poulter crack up a win somewhere. Things can happen. Funny things like that do happen. On the PGA Tour, Americans Kevin Kisner and Scott Brown carded a 12-under-par round of 60 to take the Zurich Classic of New Orleans team event into a playoff on Monday. Long-term leaders Jonas Blix and Cameron Smith took a four-shot lead into the final round of four balls, but Kisner and Brown birdied 10 of the first 11 holes, and Kisner then chipped in for an eagle at the last. Smith had to birdie the last to join them at 27-under, and the four men will return for a sudden-death playoff today. Ewan, please, top 10 in the world rankings.
In 10th place, Justin Thomas, who's made that lightning start to the PGA Tour. Ricky Fowler, winner of the Honda, in 9th. Justin Rose, 2nd at Augusta, in 8th place. The man who beat him there, Sergio Garcia, in 7th. Just outside the top 5 is Henrik Stenson, the reigning Open champion. Into the top 5, Jordan Spieth at 5, Hideki Matsuyama at 4, Jason Day of Australia in 3rd place, Rory McIlroy tucked in behind Dustin Johnson, but quite a long way behind.
So work for Rory to do if he's going to catch the big fella, no doubt about that. So now we have another new format on the European Tour called Golf Sixes. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be played at the Centurion Club over 2 days, 32 players, 16 different countries, two-man teams. And can you explain the format, Ewan?
Pretty straightforward. It's greensome match play, which I think will be pretty exciting. Everyone hitting the tee shots there, hitting the first shot of that hole. Four groups of four. The top two qualify for the knockout stage, which feature, of course, quarterfinals, semi, third and fourth playoff, and the final. If the teams are tied in the group stages, it will come down to holes one, a little bit like goal difference in football. And the teams are made up, would you believe, of 16 countries, which I think is going to be the first part of the success of this.
I think so, yeah, to have that international flavour, because that is what the European Tour is all about. So England, Italy, Thailand, India, Australia, Denmark, France, Netherlands, Spain, Scotland, South Africa, USA, Wales, Belgium, Sweden, Portugal. That pretty much includes everyone.
Pretty much does. And the favourites, I guess you could say, the BMW PGA champion Chris Wood alongside Andy Sullivan. But there's some very strong pairings there. Last week's winner, Alexander Levy, will play alongside Gregory Birdie. You have Joost Luiten for representing the Netherlands there. Scotland has a strong team in Richie Ramsey and Mark Warren. So it's all to play for there. If I was having a pick, or if you'll allow me a pick,
yeah,
I'm going to go for Belgium in the shape of Kolsaerts and Detri.
Well, Detri's the new pretender, isn't he? Because it was Kolsaerts who was the Belgian man of golf for so many years, and then he was caught by Thomas Peters, and Detri's just hovering in the shadows. They could be dark horses.
He's ready, and of course the power of Kolsaerts is always an advantage, but whatever happens, with 16 nations and 32 players, they have a recipe for success, and I guess you could call it 2020 golf.
I've got a feeling, I know you've picked a very strong side, but I've got a feeling for Spain. Pablo Larrazábal, who top three last week, and Alejandro Cañizares, he's quite the birdie maker. So I think that's a very strong two from Spain. I see them going a long way. But of course, you know, when it's knockout, anything can happen.
For sure. You look at Italy and the young talent they have there in Paratori and Manassero. If they get off to a flyer, and they get the confidence level up and the wind in their sails, they could go ahead and do it. It's any one of 16.
Well, I think you and the Golf Sixes are going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, representing England are Andy Sullivan and Chris Wood, who joins us on the line right now. And, Chris, you must be looking forward to this and had a very good week in China just a few days ago.
Yeah, probably reflects a lot of the golf I've played this season, really. I've played nice without any results, going around shooting one under level, one over, but playing much better than that. But that can be quite frustrating. So it was sort of same old, really, after day one. And then I made five birdies in a row in the middle of the back nine on Friday and playing with Thomas Bjorn. And he said, "Who's this guy? Where's he come from?" So it's been coming, really. So it was nice to see a little bit of progress, yeah.
Also coming to you, Chris, the defence of the BMW PGA Championship. And you look at these last three rounds that you started to talk about there. 68, 65, 68, running into form perhaps at just the right time.
Yeah, I tend to find a little bit of form at this time of year. I mean, you probably ask any player, they all have periods during the season where they feel like they come into some form and have some good results. And historically, sort of May time, I tend to put together some decent results. So obviously I did last year as well. I'm actually playing Wentworth on Thursday, seeing the new changes, and I think everyone's really excited to see it. And obviously, like I said, I played with Thomas last week, who has had quite a bit to do with it, told me a few little things that they've done. I saw Paul McGinley tweeted a few pictures as well, and it just looks absolutely perfect. Yeah, almost a few weeks early, but yeah, I can't wait to go back and defend.
Before you get to Wentworth, Chris, just a small matter of the Golf Sixes at the Centurion Club, and you're playing with someone you're very familiar with.
Yeah, me and Sully are playing, representing the England team. I mean, anything the tour are doing to promote something slightly different or have a go at something different, I'm willing to support it and give it a go, because week in, week out tournaments do get a little bit mundane, even playing them. So I'm all for a few things that are a little bit different. Not so keen on the walk-on music onto the first tee. That's not really my bag. I'd rather come in through the side or something and a quieter entrance. But there's a lot of different things that are going to be going on. But I mean, they tried something different in Perth. They could probably look at that now and think, well, we could do this next time. But without trying these things, yeah, there's going to be things that you change next time. But I think the Sixes, and especially in London, yeah, hopefully we get some decent crowds and it's a success.
It seems, Chris, that quite a few of the tours are embracing these innovations. And you wouldn't know this because you were working in China last week, but at New Orleans, they had a pairs event there where they incorporated foursomes and four-ball. Proved to be exciting.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it, but I followed a little bit on Twitter and that sort of thing. And, well, they had a great field. And obviously, I don't know how it's been looked upon, obviously, because I've been travelling back, but I'm sure it went down well. I mean, for me, things like that, or even three-round events, or I don't know, a lot of sports are trying to do it. I know Formula One are trying to do something different to take their sport to a slightly different audience, and that's what we're trying to do in golf as well. So I'm all for a few different things.
Well, you mentioned, you know, walking on with, there's going to be pyrotechnics and a lot of noise and people having a good time, party atmosphere at Centurion Club, and the walk-on music. What will be the go-to Chris Wood tune?
Do you know, I think I'm going to have to leave that to Sully. He's probably a bit more down with his music. He enjoys a night out a bit more often than I do, so he's probably a bit more familiar with what's trendy these days.
Far be it from me to tell you what to do, Chris, but don't leave it to Sully, whatever you do.
No, I've learned a lesson or two off him over the years, but
well, I'll tell you what, Ewan's got a few Perry Como 78s that he could lend you. You know, if you've got a crackly old record player, you could crank that up as you're walking on the tee. I mean, it would be different. I reckon Sully's going to give it a bit of Stormzy.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the end thing now at the moment, doesn't it?
It seems to be, yeah.
I don't know, something rhythmical to keep you in the swing for your first tee shot. You know, just sort of keep it nice and slow, and then
maybe Bing Crosby straight down the middle.
It'll go anything but, I think, if that's played.
It'll be fun, and you're representing your country against 15 other countries as well.
Yeah, and we'd like to think, yeah, we've got a good chance. Yeah, obviously having both made our debuts in the Ryder Cup last year, and we both played together in the World Cup in Australia, and I mean, we've grown up playing amateur golf, me and Sully, so we go back quite a long way, and team golf is, you know, just don't play enough of it, and I love that side of it. teaming up with somebody else, and you're not out there on your own, and the caddies get together, and you're all sort of as a four, and it's really good fun. And the country sort of element to it as well brings in a slightly different edge and a bit of needle here and there maybe. So yeah, it'll be good.
So if not you and the English pair of Sullivan and Wood, who do you think could win?
That's a good question. I mean, the South Africans are generally quite strong. I know Brandon Stone's been playing well. I think he's playing. France, I mean, I played with Levy last week for 3 days and he was impressive. I think he's playing with Greg Bordy. So probably say them, they'd be the ones to beat.
It's going to be fun because it's going to be quick. You know, it'll be a six-hole sprint and you'll know very quickly should you proceed or not. And I think that's part of the point, isn't it?
Yeah, well, everything these days, isn't it, is instant. And that's sort of, everyone's got used to that. You know, everyone wants things now, don't they? And that's the trouble with golf. 18 holes can take quite a long time and people haven't got that time these days. And I know, I think my club, Long Eshton, have started introducing like 9-hole medals and things like that. And they seem to be quite popular. So the 6-hole thing will be good. I mean, you just don't want to go 2 down after 2. It's a long way back.
Yeah, well, listen, thanks very much for spending time with us, Chris. I know you just got back from China. You're pretty tired. Good luck in the sixes, and particularly good luck at Wentworth when you get to defend in the coming weeks.
Thanks, Rob. Cheers,
good, Ewan. Good to speak to you.
Cheers, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
And of course, for events like this or main tour events on a European tour, if you're a club and you're hosting, it brings a lot of prestige as well.
Without question. And of course, if you look at the rest of the golfing world, they'll be looking at this as well to see how successful it may well be at the end of the week, where they could make one or two tweaks, because you never get everything right away. But I think all of the Federation of PGA Tours will be looking at this, and if it is successful, they'll want to incorporate it in their tour.
Thank you, Ewan. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the Golf Sixes and look ahead to the Open to Portugal, one of the oldest events on the European Tour. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Ewan Murray, who's gone for
Belgium,
and myself, Robert Lee, who's back Spain, it's goodbye.